All right, we're going to call the meeting.
I think she's making fun of the three of us because of our glasses.
I wear glasses all the time. I don't get to put them in a little case away anytime.
Any citizens' comments? We'll start out with citizens' comments. Any citizens would like to make a comment on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not? Now is your opportunity. All right, seeing no citizens' comments, approval of the minutes.
I'll move the minutes.
Second.
On the minutes, I have a couple things that were going to be on this agenda that aren't, and talk to Mr. Jansen about it, so he will at some point talk about those items. So any other additions or corrections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance. I don't see roll call on here, but we have five supervisors in attendance and one youth and governance. The two supervisors that are not here are at a law candidates forum for the bar, I think the bar. So, of course, David is in the candidate for judge, and Supervisor Rhodes, being an attorney, is there as a observer or whatever. Supervisor Rhodes said he might be here if that gets over early. Okay, next on the agenda, number four. Okay. Approval of county executive resolutions as follows. Mr. Virgil Rails to Commission on Aging. Did I get that right? Mr. Rails, would you like to come forward and introduce yourself and hopefully tell us how you really say your name? I said Rails. But
Rails, yeah.
Rails, okay.
I'm Herschel Riles, and I've resided in Kenosha since 1994, and I've retired from the Department of Veterans Affairs after 35 years of service into now the Captain James A. Lovell Bankers, I think, that together, and I'm a retired pharmacist, and so I've been here since 1994, and I'm involved with the American Legion here in Kenosha, Disabled American Veterans. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm being retired. I don't have a lot of free time to do a lot of things and volunteer. And I was really impressed when I got a chance to work at a commission for aging, because I'm one of the 78 million baby boomers. And indeed, it's really a challenge to be able to be involved in some of the things that involves the baby boomers. And so I think I'm a part of doing that. I don't know where to start.
Maybe somebody on the committee would have a question.
No, I read over your resume, and it's quite impressive, and I thank you for your willingness to serve. I think you'll be an asset to the committee, and I just want to thank you on behalf of our committee here. So I don't have any questions.
You said you're retired. Did they tell you what days? I don't even know what days this particular meeting.
It's on a Monday.
Monday? When? And you're available those evenings?
I'm available on Monday.
Okay. Because attendance is
lucky you.
Attendance is obviously the bare minimum of what was required, and of course whatever you have expertise in was also good too. All right. Any other questions from anybody?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Arrington. On the question, any other questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
So this would be then a committee recommendation to the county board, and after the county board votes on it on Tuesday, then you would be part of that committee.
Thank you for coming down. Appreciate it.
Could I move the next two? They're both, they're not here. I don't think they're here. No. Oh, one is.
Jack Rose is appreciated. This is a reappointment to the Aging and Disability Resource Center Board, the ADRC Board. And on that board, he represents mental health. And I think most of you know Mr. Rose. He's president of NAMI, and he's been a very active volunteer. I don't think he's hardly missed one meeting on a couple of committees that he serves on. And he's just one of my favorite volunteers. He's always there and always helping out. Just a real asset to our board.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gentz to approve. Second by Supervisor Arrington. Any other questions by any other committee members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Motion. Okay. Is approved.
James Schmidt for the Veterans Service Council is also a reappointment.
I'll move to approve that as well.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Arrington. Any questions by anybody on the committee? Did you say he's in attendance?
No.
No.
All those
I looked and I didn't see him.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Motion is approved. Next on the agenda then would be number five, DCFS. Resolution to modify the budget of the Department of Human Service, Division of Children and Family Services, and Home Safety Services Grant.
Hi, good evening. Good to see everybody. Happy New Year. As we were going through the budget process last year, we also were applying for an in-home safety services grant. And we were, I don't have the exact number of different communities that applied, but this was let out in mid-October. By the state of Wisconsin. It's part of their program improvement plan for the state to try to see if you can work with some families. And when a child has been maltreated, as opposed to moving immediately to foster care, there are some families that probably have enough strength that if you can provide enough intensive in-home safety services and monitoring, you could keep those children in their home with their parents while you continue to provide treatment. So we put in for that grant, and we were one of four sites selected for the grant. It's a two-year grant for $240,000 each year, calendar year 12 and calendar year 13. And what I wrote in the resolution is that we believe that this grant can impact around 35% of the families that we bring into the formal court system every year for child abuse and neglect. So what that means in real numbers is approximately three families a month in a year's time, so roughly 36 families. Instead of those, we tend to bring in any month 7 to 9 families go into the juvenile court system for child abuse and neglect, where the families are put under conditions so that they don't re-harm their child. We believe that approximately 3 or 4 of those families a month could be maintained as a family unit in their home with this intense safety service monitoring. And what that means is we have two of our active partners in the community that we have that we partnered with in this grant. One is Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, which does a family preservation program. And the other one is Professional Services Group, which does an intensive aftercare reunification program. Both of these programs provide very intensive in-home services within a client's home. Family preservation does a lot of hands-on parenting, household management, safety management. Intensive aftercare can do some of those services as well. But what they also bring to the table is the ability to go out and check on families literally 7 days a week at almost any hour of the day during the waking hours. So using that with a plan to keep so kids are not re-harmed, we're hoping to touch roughly, like I said, 35, 36 families a year as they go into the court process, providing this is the same families we've always worked with, but historically we've worked with most of these families from the premise that those kids had to be physically removed from their parents' home to keep them safe. And then we reunify those kids from foster care to their family's home. So what we're saying is that a subgroup of that population that we've always worked with, we believe we can reduce the use of foster care and the what really everyone agrees now is anytime you place a child away from their parents, there's always some secondary trauma when you remove kids from their home, i.e. they're the strangers, even the most wonderful foster parents are still a strange environment. So we have a two-year demonstration grant to kick this off and to see how this works. And where I also put in the resolution is that if this works, I believe that at the end of the 2 years, we will see savings in foster care, and we will actually make a change in our practice in Kenosha County for the better. And it's something that at the end of 2 years, we will look to figure out a way to continue within our existing resources to keep this going on. So, happy to answer any questions.
Looks like we have three, starting with Supervisor Gens.
My first question to you is, are we going to create any county positions for this, or are we just going to rely on our support agencies?
We're not creating a county full-time equivalent position.
Because it says in here the positions will be eliminated.
Well, the reason it says that is that the grant that would fund these positions through the two private agencies would end. The grant funding will end in 2 years. But those agencies run those programs now that we're expanding both programs or adding positions to both programs over this 2 year period.
They are, not us.
They are.
Yeah, oh, that's not our...
Yeah, they are through this money that is coming through us. The county social worker is still in charge of this plan and is still in charge of creating this animal safety plan. So we're not adding any full-time county social workers to do this work. We really believe we're going to tap into families we already work with. We're just going to work with them in a different way.
Okay. And obviously there's no extra matching funds, no other funds we have to contribute.
No, we put in the grant that we think we can bring down an extra $8,000 in medical and targeted case management.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Is this something...
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Only thing I wanted to ask you is there anywhere else in the state where this is occurring right now? Like, say, Milwaukee, is it Madison, Wauwatosa? Is there anywhere else that... this program or this grant that would fund this kind of program, are we seeing that anywhere else in Wisconsin?
That's a great question, Supervisor Arrington. Currently, the three other sites that got this grant, La Crosse had partnered with some other counties there, Waukesha is with Jefferson and a couple other counties there, and I believe Rock has got this grant. And so, but they're all, it's not single counties. They've actually partnered with some of their neighboring counties. We were unusual in that we were chosen, we went in this as Kenosha County, not partnering with Racine or Walworth to do this. And we did that real purposely because the second part of your answer is there are other departments of human services that do work with families in their home where there's been abuse and neglect. Waukesha's had some units that have primarily used less foster care than we do. So when I say this is a system change, Kenosha is a real conservative community, and we really pride ourselves in kids not being harmed a second time. So people are they've always been erred on the side of safety. That is, remove the child from the maltreating parent, put them in foster care so the maltreating parent can't hurt them again. Get the parent up to a certain level, reunify the family. There's still going to be many kids that are in foster care because abuse is so severe, you can't leave those kids in that home. But we believe a subset is, with this program, we can keep those kids safe at home while we improve things in the home. So yeah, Waukesha has done this, Dane has done this in a different model. This is more of a structured model. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. Thank you.
Did you have a question? You saw your hand up.
No, it was answered. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll let you get there.
Is this a new way of doing something, or are we doing this already and we're just growing it a little bit because we're getting more funding?
This is the programs that exist that we're expanding do not have the same intensity right now that we're going to improve them by with this grant. So it is a new way of doing business, and we're going to really target. What's really is unique is that Kenosha historically really relies a lot on foster care when kids have been maltreated, and they don't necessarily stay in foster care very long, but they often get removed into foster care. So what's very unique in this grant is if we're going to wrap up the intensity of these two existing programs, add some new components to it so they can be that intense, with the goal that there are some children that will not go to foster care at all and still remain safe with their parents, or will only spend a day or two in foster care while the plan can be put in place. And so we both of those would be qualified for this.
Okay, thank you, because it sounded similar to other programs we discussed the past couple of months.
Yes.
But obviously it's different where you're leaving the kids there if you're able to. Okay, thank you.
I have a couple of questions. The four counties, well, they're not really, the others aren't counties.
Yeah.
But is there going to be a way that we can benchmark and see how we're doing as compared to the other four that are in the same program?
Yes. There's a program evaluation component built into the grant, and the state's already told me they expect the four counties to be, they're going to pull the four, I said four counties like you did, but the four groups that got the grant are going to be brought together, at least after the first year, and really have sort of a sit-down meeting to talk about what's going well, what's not, see how each site, that's probably the better word, the sites are doing.
Learn from each other, network.
Yes, And then my goal on this is real simple. I want to track, this is like a longitudinal study. Families that have come into this program this year in 2012, whenever their orders expire, I want to track them a year out and make sure they don't come knocking back on our door again. The same thing for 2013, see how effective it is.
What are the two agencies, the private agencies that are benefiting from this?
Well, the two agencies that are part of the grant application that we said we would expand would be Professional Services Group, which runs Intensive Aftercare Reunification Program. It's a component that right now primarily is working with kids that were in foster care, and we are reunifying them safely with their parents. And then Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, and they do a number of parenting programs, but one program that is more than just parenting is called Family Preservation, and that's more of an intensive safety service program. And again, we're going to increase the level of the intensity in some of the services that it provides. So those are the two agencies. They're going to each increase about the equivalent of two FTEs in each agency through this grant.
For 2 years?
Yeah, for 2 years.
Congratulations on getting a grant, by the way. I want to start off with that. What I further want to expand on is after this two-year period is over with, and the funding is dried up and everything, we've learned from it. How are we going to continue this program without those funding, coming in to keep these children where I believe is their best place at home, if it's all possible?
Well, Subaru, that's a great question. And how I envision this is, one, I think we're going to be successful. I think we can do this. I think that time is right for Kenosha to do this. Mm-hmm. We have a better understanding of safety and how to keep kids safe. If you really look at if you have this working by year two, it's really up and running, and you're really able to take around 30-35 families a year that normally would have had their kids in foster care. And being conservative, if you say that each family has two children, that's 70 children that didn't spend a day in foster care, or they may have spent 6 months or more in foster care. At the standard rate for young children in foster care, if you have like 35 families, two children and family, and they each are out of foster care for 6 months of no foster care, we would have spent $168,000 on those kids in foster care.
For 1 year or 2 years?
For 1 year, 6 months.
Six months
for 70 kids. And kids in the child welfare system to stay in for 6 months is actually a pretty quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. Often they stay in longer. For regular foster care for young kids is around $400 a month, so that's how it adds up.
Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah, and there's other programs that you may be able to reduce because you don't need as much of that program because it's for kids in foster care.
I I see you have to go to the Finance Committee, and they used to be pretty particular about that budget modification form. I see it's not here, so you may want to get that together.
I apologize. You're right. I apologize.
I was looking for it.
We wrote it out.
Because I knew we'd be asking for it, and I didn't see it.
I saw it on the email, and I didn't. And you're right. It's not here.
So you got some sticklers like Supervisor Gens.
I was looking. I was seriously looking for it.
I apologize.
Because I know it would be asked for shortly.
Yes. You are right. All right. Thank you.
We don't need it, but the powerful Finance Committee will. All right. Any questions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Arrington, seconded by Supervisor Kubicki. Any other questions for? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Okay.
Right. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you.
Then we have number six, resolution to convert a Division of Workforce Development Fraud Specialist position to an Economic Support Specialist position.
Good evening.
How are you?
Great.
The proposal or the resolution that is before you from the Division of Workforce Development has to do with the direction that the state is moving into, and that is forming regional partnerships across the state. As you know, in January of this year, Kenosha County partnered with Racine County to form an income maintenance consortium called WKRP, Wisconsin's Kenosha Racine Partners. And as a result of that partnership, the state used to have, well, they still have a state enrollment services center, which centralizes some of the eligibility for medical assistance programs. As a result of all the consortia that are formed across the state, the ESC will be closing by April of 2012. And the cases that currently exist with the ESC will be transferred across the state wherever those cases reside. Kenosha will be inheriting approximately 4,000 of those cases. Effective January of this year, we are proposing to partner with Racine County to do fraud investigations for us under a fraud consortium, which the state is recommending. There is fraud money available to those agencies who work together. The state does not provide individual fraud money anymore, and they haven't since March of 2010. But anybody who enters into a consortium, they have money available for them. So we are proposing to partner there with the Racine County and join a consortium that's called Partners in Program Integrity. And as a result of us moving into this consortium with Racine County, a position that we have currently that is called the Fraud Specialist position, we are proposing to convert this to a regular income maintenance specialist position effective March 1st. And that converting that position to a regular income maintenance position will help us to manage some of those 4,000 income maintenance cases that we will be inheriting from the ESC. Converting the fraud specialist position to a regular income maintenance economic support specialist position has no budgetary impact. There is no additional county levy involved, and we would like to move this position forward.
Supervisor Arrington, I think, is first.
Is this as simple as we're changing the name, basically, of what this person is going to do because of the amount of the workload increase? Is that basically what we're doing? Unless I'm not reading correctly. So we're going to change them from a economic support to, well, it sounds like we're just changing the title of the job that they're already doing. Is that what we're doing?
They will be doing this position, if approved, will be doing something totally different. We will be entering into an agreement with the same county in another consortium to perform the functions that individual currently performs. They have a fraud unit, and we will be purchasing services from them versus what is currently happening. And we are proposing to make this a regular economic support position that does eligibility redeterminations for food share, medical assistance, and a program called Caretaker Supplement. And so they would not be doing overpayment calculations and data entry for cases that are determined to be paid in error. So it is a change in function as well as a change in the title of the position.
So
we have a position called fraud specialist right now. And
so we're
eliminating that position and converting it to economic support position.
It is, just to piggyback that same question, if it's a different job, is the person qualified to do the new job?
We believe so. We believe so. The person has the option of either bumping other individuals or posting for this new position.
So you've already picked the person?
We have not picked the person. The individual who's in the position. Mm-hmm. Because his position, he's here, he's in the back there.
Okay.
Because his position is being eliminated and turned into a totally different function, then he has the ability to either bump a person of a lower rank or post into this particular position and perform these functions.
I think I got. So this won't exist anymore. This
correct.
Kenosha County Fraud Specialist
correct.
Won't exist, so we won't even have that. So this economic support specialist position will be performing something with Racine, in conjunction with this group that they're going to be a part of, Enrollment Services Center.
I think I confused you. This person, the new position, will be performing regular eligibility functions mm-hmm. for food share medical assistance programs.
Okay.
It's a totally different function than the fraud specialist is performing right now. Mm-hmm. Where the confusion may come in is I said that we are inheriting 4,000 additional cases as a result of the ESC closing down. We know we can't get any additional positions to help manage this additional workload, and so we thought we could take a position, a fraud specialist position, and convert it to a regular economic support position to help with some of the additional workload that we inherited. And because the state no longer gives us fraud money for individual people, they only give you money if you join a consortium, then we would join the consortium with Racine County and use the money that the state would give us, because we're part of a consortium, and purchase services, fraud services, from the consortium, through the consortium, I should say, not from, but through the consortium. Is that less confusing?
I believe I get it now. I guess maybe later on. I'm not familiar with fraud consortium or whatever, but it sounds like something we're going to have to get familiar with, because I'm not familiar with it. But I'll support it, because there's no budgetary impact to it, and it doesn't impact the levy. So, and then what I'll probably be looking for is, you know, what probably more detailed description later on of what the position does. I mean, and I think that you've covered everything that I asked. I appreciate it. Thank you.
One, just a clarification for me on the same subject. So at some point, once we get this consortium together, then we may or may not need a fraud specialist, or we'll have to find, you know, we'll contract with some place in consort with Racine for some fraud, if we get some fraud money, right?
We will get fraud money if we join the consortium.
Right.
That's a guarantee. We won't get it if we don't join the consortium.
Right. So at some point when we join the consortium, whether it's employee or contracted, there's going to be some type of a fraud specialist out there. A need for a fraud.
There'll be a group performing that function for the consortium, yes.
So it will come back in some fashion, and we'll come back once we have this consortium. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, the services will, the fraud services will be there. That's what you're asking.
We'll come once the consortium is formed. Right?
The consortium is in place already. We're joining this consortium. That's how we get the funding. We can't be standalone for our programs anymore.
I didn't know it was already in existence.
Yes, it already exists, and we are joining now this program, this Partners in Program Integrity Consortium, in order to access the funds that are available for fraud consortium.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm less confused or more.
Yeah, okay, let's I have a number of different avenues to go down. It might clear some of this stuff. I mean, we were working months ago to join this consortium. We are already in place with that.
The now, income maintenance. This is a totally different consortium.
Okay. So all different programs, you have to go back and create new consortiums to partner with Racine if we want to do that? I mean, this isn't under anything that's been established before. We're starting a new consortium with the fraud thing, right? Is that what I'm understanding?
This consortium came into being in 2011. This particular Partners in Program Integrity started in 2011. The state only made money available to people who joined fraud consortium. This particular one came into existence in March, I believe, of 2011. Kenosha actually joined another fraud consortium, which never came into being. We joined a consortium with the state. There were several options. There were perhaps five fraud consortia that you could join. We opted to go in with the state. The state never found a provider. They never found anybody to operate this fraud consortium. And so we were left kind of in the wings waiting for the state to come up with their provider. In the meantime, this particular one has been operational since 2011. And the state, because they couldn't find a provider, said, you have the option of joining another consortium, because ours isn't going to happen. And we decided to go in with this particular one this year.
And who is in that? Just Racine?
No, there are seven, including us, other counties with this particular consortium.
And I wrote down, you made a comment, purchase fraud services.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we're going to take the state's money that they give us by ourselves and purchase it through that fraud consortium?
That means, yes.
See, I'm tracking. I'm working on it here. I just need a flow chart. Okay. Now let's get on to a couple of my other questions. Now, 4,000 new cases, that's just with us, right? Just
that's
Kenosha.
Just Kenosha.
Okay. Is the one talented individual in the room going to be able to handle that amount? Because I also wrote down that you named off three programs that that individual, whoever you hire, is gonna be working with, okay? That, to me, seems like a lot.
That one individual will not be handling all 4,000 of those cases. There's a plan for distributing that workload across more than one person. There will probably be five total people. People who currently handle some of those types of cases will get more. And then the other individual will get their fair share of that 4,000 as well.
Are these 4,000 of new type cases or 4,000 of cases we already get, and they can be spread over the people that are already doing it?
They can be, yes.
Okay. It's a concern of mine that your people are already stretched.
Definitely.
And that's a concern. Because as I don't see the little budget flap on the back, I'm worried that another budget flap might come and there might actually be, we need some money on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if through the chair we can ask for a report on how this goes or where we are with this. You know, I don't want the department with the new cases and the converging and the state forcing us to do this and that, you know, us getting overburdened with what we need to do. So I would... I would respectfully ask some type of report back to know how we're doing. I don't know if it could be anytime soon, because we have to see once these are all plugged in and how they're spread over and how the people are handling it.
Sure. We can give you a caseload report, because those cases are, they've been coming to us since November. And I would say we have probably one quarter of those cases already incorporated into the caseloads. But over the course of the next 3 months, we're going to get the bulk of them.
Okay. I think that answers my question.
If I may, I know Chairman Noble pointed out to me in the minutes there, I made a comment about coming back at this meeting or the next meeting, which is this meeting, with an IM consortium update. It's just a little premature right now since we started the first week of January, but that is something that I think is very important to keep this committee apprised to, because this is so new. Partner was receiving the first day, there was over 740 calls that came into our call center, which is generally a week's worth of calls. So, I mean, business is hopping. That's information that is important to share with you guys. And if we can gather some statistically, at least to show you how what it was and what it is now, maybe just a little blip by the next meeting, I think that would be good information.
And I think
spread that out throughout the year.
Right.
A one-time shot.
I think it's important to know that if we're getting stretched too thin prior to the breaking, rather than coming to us after the fact and saying, you know what, we just can't handle it. So we do need updates on this new stuff that we're not aware of.
We will keep this committee apprised of that throughout the year.
Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Kubicki?
Yeah, to dovetail to that, it seems a little hard to fathom that with five people basically carrying a load of 800 cases. Doesn't that seem a little bit high for a number?
I'll tell you what, the state has determined the standard caseload to be 840 cases.
840, so we're below the standard for the state, is what we're saying.
And we'll see how that works out.
Now, stepping back another step, back in 2011, maybe 10, I don't know where you have data on, as far as amount of cases of fraud in Kenosha County, do you have any kind of hard data on that in those years?
We don't have any fraud per se cases. We have not determined that our overpayment cases are fraud cases.
Yeah.
We consider them one of several categories that an error has been made either by the client not reporting something or the worker. That's an information that they did not act upon. But fraud is a term that is used kind of loosely, but fraud has to be proven in court.
Right. What I'm trying to say is I don't think we have a problem here. My point is to that.
No, we don't.
I was trying to get at. So I just wanted to hear that
based
from you.
On the numbers that we've been looking at since. We've been looking at fraud situations, of course, since the beginning. But when the jail situation came up, of course, we've been taking a more intensive look at some of the things. And since we started getting that slammer report from the jail in September, we have pulled out about 46 cases of our total of about 8,481 that we've determined received benefits in error because they did not report.
Percentage-wise, I think that's fairly low, I think you could say. Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Dench to approve. Second by Supervisor Arrington. On the question, one last chance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
With the governance.
Aye.
Thank you. Such other business as allowed by law. And Adeline, I don't know if you want to. I think this might have been yours, but a couple things. There was a couple things on the agenda that I mentioned at the beginning. One was the Brookside Admissions Coordinator position, with an update on the Brookside Admission Coordinator position, the IM Consortium, which you said you're going to do that now at the next meeting.
We will come to you with some data on what we've been collecting so far, maybe do just a quick snapshot of probably January numbers.
Yes.
And then compare it to maybe January the year before, just so you can see differences. And regarding the Brookside Admission Coordinator position, they were out of town and unable to make the meeting this month, and we have them on the agenda for February, and made them aware of that a couple weeks ago. So that should be taken care of. With the report on how they did, you wanted to meet the admission coordinator also.
And just to keep the topic, as you know, the fraud going, Aaron, Supervisor Decker, wanted an update on the review of the Racine's fraud investigation resolution that they were passing. And has there been any progress on that? Have they gotten anywhere?
I believe that they finally passed the resolution. It was either in November or December, and they should be implementing that program starting this year. And since we'll be working more closely with them in this consortium, perhaps we can provide some information. I think it's going to take a while for them to come up with some data, perhaps 6 months. I don't know, but. I'm in contact with them on a regular basis, and you know, I ask periodically how things are going. And I did ask if they would come here and do a presentation on their program, and they declined. They just didn't think that they should come to committee meetings.
They thought what?
They didn't feel it was appropriate for them to come to one of our committee meetings. I did ask.
Might be too early.
Said there was a request made.
Well, if you could just continue to question as to how it's going and keep us
sure.
At some point, you must come to some type of a conclusion about it and make a report or recommendation. I guess the thought is if it's working, maybe we want to consider a similar resolution. And then the other thing.
Okay.
And then the other thing, I'm not sure who's going to talk about that, but I asked that. Something about the Spanish Center be brought before the committee. It was from Page News, and a lot of the grants that they lost, basically, they lost, were the oversight committee for the grants that they lost, and the article in the paper was rather vague as to what particular grants, or at least vague for me. I don't think it was that clear. And bring us up to date on all that.
The county actually had two contracts with the Spanish Center. One was through the Division of Aging and Disability Services, which was a small, I believe, approximately $20,000 grant that was an ethnic elder outreach program for Hispanics. So that was funding a part-time type of position. And the other larger one is the WEA program, which is the Energy Assistance Program. Money comes to us. The feds, through the state, to us, we contracted that out with the Spanish Center and have for several years. Unfortunately, in October, things were starting to go astray. The state came down and did an audit and found a number of issues on how the program was being run. We had our own concerns, trying to work closely with them to make some corrections, put together a corrective action plan, and then the state came out with some very strong wording about how they thought things were running. So we made a decision internally that we were no longer going to contract with the Spanish Center starting in January to provide that service. So with that, we also recognized that that was probably the major funding source for the Spanish Center. They were also doing some translation work outside of county dollars and had legal action coming in and providing services. Once again, that was just something legal action was doing. That wasn't something they were receiving funding from us or even the Spanish Center. Recognizing that, that our Spanish community still needed an agency that they could turn to, we contacted UMOS, which is in Milwaukee headquartered and has programs throughout the state. They're running a migrant worker program in Racine, as a matter of fact. They have a long history of being financially solvent and running excellent programs, and we reached out to them to come in and take over our energy assistance program. So starting in January 1st, they began and have hit the ground running. Still located in the same area, they took over the spot that the Santa Center was leasing in the Boys and Girls Club so as not to confuse the public. And things seem to be going much more smoothly now. So that's the quick update. What the Spanish Center is choosing to do is what I read in the paper with the rest of you right now, and saw today that they've made a decision to their board meeting to continue exploring whatever their options are in providing services to the community.
So UMOS is an out-of-town agency?
Their headquarters are in Milwaukee. They provide services throughout the state. In fact, they have programs in Missouri and things along that line.
And we used to, they used to perform services at the job center for us as well, translation services and some outreach services.
Did they use local people or?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they interviewed the staff that was at the Spanish Center. Okay. And in fact, the person they hired to supervise it was the interim director of the Spanish Center, Anna Ortiz.
Oh, is that what that was all about?
Yes.
Oh. Yes. So when she left, then the Spanish Center didn't have an employee left. So.
I guess I didn't quite follow that.
And the program that, excuse me, they operate, the Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program, is not a Spanish-serving program. It's a program that encompasses anybody who's eligible for the program. The Spanish Center just happened to be the subcontractor that we selected. So it doesn't impact the Spanish community. It does in the fact that this was their largest funding source, but other than that, it's not specific to Spanish.
I know there was emails that were going out before Christmas, and you sent me one, yeah. Chairman Noble, questioning why this wasn't put out for an RFP, request for proposal process. You just couldn't do it in a time frame and not disrupt services to people who need heat in their homes in January. Mm-hmm. So we hooked up quickly. Got things in place so that there'd be a seamless transition and folks wouldn't be saying, now where do I go, what do I do? So further down the line, we're probably looking at putting that out in an RFP process, but we'll probably let them get their feet on the ground this year and then explore that perhaps in 13.
What was it about 4 months ago the Spanish Center lost something then, too, that I don't remember what that was.
They were upset at one point in time providing gang prevention services in Kenosha County, and that was through a RFP process they submitted, and we're not awarded a contract for that.
So they lost that too.
Correct.
They also lost United Way funding, and they lost the CDG funding. It's been over the course of time they lost the majority of it.
Wow. Well, we've got our own gang specialists, don't we?
Yes, John Rhodes.
So we're not going to contract that out. We've got our own people in place. So.
Well, unless somebody else wants and has more questions regarding that, I thought that was very good. Thank you. Any other business then authorized by law? John, anything else? Comments by members of the committee or youth and governments?
So I'll second Ed's motion.
Second to adjourn?
Yep.
All right. Motion by Supervisor Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Gentz to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.
It's the same day.
Nice to meet you.
Eight.